So a big hello also to anyone listening online, especially if you happen to be on the Atlantic and you're checking up on what's going down. Yeah, so as most of you know, I'm Hayley Adams and I'm one of the leaders, and it is an honour to stand in front of you and deliver the message. So you may notice something a bit different this morning. When you came in, you were given a handout. Has everyone got a handout? If you don't, please raise your hand and someone will come and deliver it to you. Now, I am a very visual person, and as you know, I always say that motion creates emotion, right? So when you're listening to something and you take an action, i.e. writing down and taking notes, you're more likely to retain what is said rather than it just floating away. So here's one. I'm just going to give this to Stacey over here. No. Oh, brilliant. Okay, so we're all run out. Well, that's brilliant. I did copy quite a few, so that's great. And does everyone have a pen or something to take their notes with? Because if you don't, I have some pencils. Came prepared. You can tell I educate the kids at home. Now, this January, we have started a series around the body of Christ. And for the benefit of those who don't know what I mean when I say the body of Christ, I don't mean the literal body of Jesus. Throughout the scriptures, God uses allegory, which is a story or a poem, to depict a greater meaning, often a moral or political one. Like, for example, Animal Farm. Who's read Animal Farm by George Orwell? That's a secular example of an allegory, and it's about Russia and communism, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis. If you haven't read the book, you might have seen the film. We did a Narnia event, and that's an allegory of Jesus as the Aslan, the lion, and Edmund as Judas. So throughout scriptures, there are lots of allegories, and the body of Christ is used to describe the church. So we've got 1 Corinthians 12 up on the screen there, and it says, "Now you're the body of Christ, and each one of you is a member of it." So along with this body metaphor, the scripture give us three other pictures when describing the church. A temple. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? He also refers to the church as a tree or a vine. John 15, which is going to come up on the screen. And then also as a family. So we can see that in every image that God uses, the church is not something that happens on a Sunday. It's not an event. And church is a really big deal, and so are you. So church isn't an event you attend. It's a family you belong to. Right, I'm going to say that again. Church is not an event you attend. It is an actual family you belong to, a real family, a spiritual family. And you know, the only relationships and friendships that you develop in the world, the only ones that will last are the ones that you build in the family of God, because it's eternal. So this is a really, really big deal. And like any family, we have responsibilities and we have work to do. In my family, I educate the kids. My husband works. Inside the house, the kids have chores and duties, like I'm sure most healthy, functioning families do. So individually, we have a responsibility to build the church, to build, to edify, and to nourish. So Ephesians 4:16 says, "From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." I think we've got that on the screen. So what we each do or do not do has impact, positive or negative, on the whole. So just looking at the allegory of a body, the pancreas. It's a tiny organ, it's located behind the stomach, and it performs a vital duty of producing hormones, notably insulin. And without insulin, the amount of sugar and salt builds up in your body and your body can't use it properly and convert it into energy. So when the pancreas doesn't work, even though it's really, really tiny, it causes a health condition called diabetes. And without treatment and without the insulin injection, diabetes is a very serious condition and can lead to death. So this is an example in the body of something so small, when not working and not functioning, can affect the whole. So God uses the allegory of the body as the church. So an individual part, any part, when not working, has huge impact. And it can be very, very negative and can cause death. Because we are one. Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ." So this led me to meditate. The way in which I individually lead my life, the action or inaction that I take will affect positively or negatively the body. That is serious. And this is a challenging message. And this is what the Lord's put on my heart. And as I was praying and meditating for you and for the church, he gave me the message. And you'll see on your notes that it says, "Using my talents to build the church." So if you have your Bible with you, I'd like you to turn to Matthew. Matthew is one of the first books in the Bible. It's around two-thirds. I'm just checking you're listening. Nice. Well done. New Testament. It's about two-thirds of the way into your Bible. And Matthew was the author of this book. The original title was According to Matthew. So I think it was Matthew. And he was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And in Matthew 25, it contains three parables. And if you have a Bible that differentiates the words of Jesus in red, you'll see the entire chapter is, in fact, in red. Does anyone have that? Because they're the words of Jesus. So before I read this parable, I just want to give you some context to the chapter. So previously in chapter 24 of Matthew, we can take that slide. Oh yeah, perfect. Previously in chapter 24, Jesus is talking to his disciples. They know that he's going to be leaving them, that he's going to be departing. And they're saying to him, "Lord, you know, when are you going to be back? What should we look out for? You know, what do we need to do?" So he's having this chat with them. And he says to them in chapter 24, you know, listen, like events will occur in the world. There'll be certain signs. People will say certain things. But the exact hour when I return, only my Father knows. So then immediately after he goes on to tell them in chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. So this is Matthew 25, 1 to 13. There are 10 virgins. They have lamps. They're waiting for the bridegroom to come. Five of them have not brought extra fuel. So their lamps run out and they need their lamp to see the bridegroom. So they ask the other five who have brought extra oil, "Can we borrow some of yours because ours have run out?" And they say, "Well, no, well, if we give you yours, then we won't be prepared. So I'm sorry, you're going to have to go out and get some. You should have come ready." And sure enough, whilst the five virgins whose lamp had run out of oil went to get some, who came? The bridegroom. And Jesus is saying in this parable, live ready. Be ready because I am going to be back. So keep watch, anticipate my return and live ready. Don't be caught off guard. Then Jesus goes on to tell them the parable that I want us to cover. And I want us to pull this apart. And because we're looking at how we can use our talents, it seems logical to look at the parable of the talents. So from verse 14, we see that this is the parable of the talents. And during my study of this parable, I used the IVP Bible background commentary. And the title of this section is Making Use of the Interim Time, which I thought was quite fitting. So this story is actually about what we should be doing now. in this time before Jesus comes. Thank you. I think it is good. Right, so I'm going to just read it to you very quickly and then we're going to pull it apart. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants, excuse me, and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received that 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not seeded. Why didn't you put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest? Take the talent from him, give it to the one who has the 10 talents, and for every one who has will be given more, for he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, so let's pull this apart and see how we can apply this to our own lives. This parable is about a wealthy master. Who do you think we're talking about here in this parable? Jesus. Jesus is the master because he's talking previously about the fact that he'll be going away. So he's saying, there is a man who's going on a journey and he's going to be physically absent. And in 2,000 years ago or so, journeys were long. Sometimes they would last months and even years. So it was common that wealthy persons in those days would depend upon trained accountants to multiply their capital and bring them increase whilst they were not physically there to do the job. So he entrusted 3 of his servants with the talents. And his servants in this story, in this parable, in this allegory are us. So to one, he gives 5 talents, to another he gives 2, and to another he gives 1. Now, when I used to think of this story, I used to think, oh, he's only got 1, you know, big deal. It's only 1 little talent. Do you know what a talent is? It's a measurement. I've got a picture of a talent. It's a weight. It's a stone, and it weighed approximately 75 kgs. That's about how much I weigh. I don't care about you knowing that. I know you shouldn't share your weight, but so what? I'm in front of you. I can't hide. So it's the same weight as me. And so this stone was placed on a weight, on a scale, and on the other side of that scale, the coins were put on, the silver coins, until it measured out. So that's like me in silver. The weight of me in silver, 1 talent. So that is a massive fortune, a massive bags. That is about 6,000 denarii. The annual wage was around 300. So that's like 20 years of saving, not spending any money. That's just 1 talent. So we're talking about a lot, right? So actually the servant who thought he didn't, well, I don't know what he thought, but what I thought, the 1 talent is actually a lot. 1 talent is a big bag of stuff. Big bag of silver. And we're like that. God gives us talent. And I like what Rick Warren says about talents. Talents are spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, personalities, and experiences. So that's what we all have. And we have different talents. And they're not simply for ourselves to make money. They're for others. That's how God gives talents. And did you notice that the master does not give the servants talents equally? One gets five, one gets two, and the other gets one, because he gives according to the ability of the servant. An ability is defined as the means or skill to do something. And you know what? We are not all equal when it comes to ability. We have different intelligence levels. We have different opportunities. You know, some of us in this room have opportunities that some of us will never have. Some of us have incredible opportunities. Some of us have incredible experiences. Some of us have hearts for things that none of the others don't have. So we are all very different. We have got very different skills and very different giftings, but it doesn't mean that we're not all just as valuable. Okay? So Romans 12:6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So we're all part of the same body. Every individual matters, and no one is insignificant. And we're all shaped to serve God and each other. So what a silly thing it is for us to compare. When we compare talents, oh, look what they've got. Oh, look how pretty they are. Or look how much opportunity. I wish I had that. And we're so focused sometimes on all the other talent around us. Don't actually look at what God has given us, because he has given us talent. God decides and God allocates the talents. And he gives everything you need to fulfill what he called you to do. And in the parable, the master, I believe, gave the talents with full expectation that his servants would be able to produce a return according to his ability, which is why he gave them that way. Because why would a wealthy man give 75 kilograms of silver to someone he thought could not be entrusted to do that? So don't compare your talents to your neighbors. God appoints and gives talents according to our ability. And you know what? All we're required to do is to be faithful with the talents he gives us. Because with responsibility comes accountability. Because we will be held accountable for how we use the talents God entrusts us with. And, you know, to put it into perspective, in those days, not many people had capital available for investment. And so those that did have the ability could easily lend it, and they could easily grow the money. So a savings account even could produce something. So the point is that a tiny action that servant with one talent could have taken could have produced a tiny return. And sometimes I think, how small could it be for us to really take an action and use our talent? Just a tiny action? So when the master returned and called his servants together, he was pleased with the two that doubled the talents. And said to both of them equally, even though one had five and doubled that, and the other had two and did what he did, he was equally just as pleased and said, my good and faithful servant, come and share. Now I'm going to give you more because I can see that you are trustworthy. And he was delighted. But to the servant who did nothing except bury it, he was angry, and he took that talent from him and he gave it to the others. Now, I don't know about you, but I actually think this is probably one of the most sober parables in the Bible. But I also think it's one of the most motivational. Because bearing in mind that this parable is talking about the time that we're living in right now, the interim time before Jesus comes, it's talking about using this time wisely and well, and about managing the talents that God has given us, that he's entrusted us with. And it warns and it says, you know, one day I'm going to hold you to account and you're going to stand before me like the master in this parable and say, let me see what you did with what I gave you. And how will we give an account for what he says? What will we hear? Will we hear, you good and faithful servant, you took what I gave you, and look at the increase? You know, the servant who was given that one talent, he was trusted because he was part of the master's household. And, you know, was he a bad man for burying it? I don't know. We can only guess. But I just think his fault was just not taking action. I don't think he was a bad man. I just think he just didn't take the action because he was fearful. He just thought, oh, what should I do? I don't know, bury it. So he just didn't take any action. And I wonder how much fear plays a part in our own lives. Fear of paying the bills and placing priorities above what God wants us to do. Because we're so busy living our lives that actually what we can then use to increase God's kingdom is buried under a pile of other priorities, other, at the bottom of a to-do list of everything else. And I think some of us can become distracted by the very talent that God gives us and put it to work for self-interest. And please hear me, I'm saying all this in love, I'm not getting at you, I'm speaking to myself. Because we can become so focused on other things and just not intentional or deliberate about how we're using our talents to build the body of Christ. And sometimes we can fall into spiritual apathy. Coming to church, being fed, and just going home and getting on with our week. Without actually so much as building anything and growing that and starting to reap that harvest of what God has entrusted us with. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So it's challenging. You know, this is a challenging message. And this is an opportunity for you to really take stock of how you are using the talents that God has given you. And are you using them in the way that he wants you to? Are you serving others? And so you'll see on your notes that I have written down some questions. And these questions are not to condemn, but if the Holy Spirit is convicting you of anything as you've been listening to the message this morning, now is an opportunity for you to have a bit of a response. So we're going to have some music playing. And what I'd like you to do, not looking at anyone else's sheet, and if you don't have one, we'll just get some. In fact, I'm just going to, if you've got a notepad, just scribble down the questions. Because when God gives you a talent, he expects you to use it. And it's like a muscle. If you use it, it will grow. And if you don't, you will lose it. And if you don't use it, he'll take it away and give it to someone else. And God will give you more if you use what he's already given to you. Because God blesses your level of faithfulness. And what I want for all of you is when that time comes and you stand before the Lord, giving your accountability, and he says, what did you do? Rob, this is what I gave you. Tell me, what did you do? Or Yvonne, this is what I gave you. Or David, come on then. Let's sit down. And he measures that and says, and considers it and judges, because he is the judge. I want each of you to be able to receive the response from the Lord that says, my good and faithful servant, well done. I am happy with you. Come and enter into my joy. Because what a sad thing if it's not that. and if it's the opposite. And I know that this is a hard message, but I think that it's so important because we are living in this time that Jesus is talking about. So while the music is playing, Yaku, can we have some sort of soft, gentle music? Or David, whoever. I would like you to spend some time. You can spread out in the church. We're going to do this for 5 minutes, and it's an exercise for us all to do. Just to sit and to really ask the Lord, you know, what are my talents, Lord, if you don't know? Some of you might know. You know, and am I using them in the way that you want me to build the church? I'm not just talking about Lee Valley Church. I'm talking about the church, the kingdom of God. It's a bigger call. So don't look at any others. And it's not something that I want you to get, you know, feel like I'm getting at you. I just want you to really take stock of where you're at. And if you are sitting here and actually you don't know Jesus but want to, before we do this little exercise for 5 minutes, I'd just like everyone to bow their head and close their eyes. And if whilst I'm speaking, you just feel like Jesus is standing at the door of your heart and knocking and saying, you know, and you want to invite him into your heart, you can. And if you would like, just raise your hand. If you'd like to recommit and say, Lord, what have I been doing with my life? Just building my own empire. Thank you, I see that hand. I want you to say after me in your heart, Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for the sins in my life, and I need your forgiveness. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and believe that he shed his precious blood on the cross and died for my sins. I'm now willing to turn from my sin. You say in your word that if we confess and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. Right now, I confess Jesus is the Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe. This very moment, I accept Jesus as my own personal Savior. And according to his word, right now, I am saved. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Amen. Okay, so we're going to have the music playing. And the first thing on your list, the first question, can I just quickly grab that too? Because I've given mine out. Thank you. Thank you, Sue. Before you do anything else, if you know that you need to get right with the Lord, I encourage you to be your first action. If you feel like the Holy Spirit is saying you're living kind of for yourself, I want you to deal with that first, because that's the first thing. Repentance is the first thing you should always do. So I encourage you to do that. Whilst the music is playing, go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for lighting my own torch. Please forgive me. And repentance is just an act of turning away and changing your mind. So Sue is coming around with some pens for you to fill it in. And hopefully 5 minutes will be enough, because we're going to end with some worship. Okay. So time starts now. Have we got some music? Because what I encourage you to do is perhaps spend this week, you know, seeking the Lord. Because they're quite big questions. And sometimes we just need to get to that quiet place and spend time with the Lord and just say, you know, Lord, what? You're ultimately kind of saying, you know, what is my purpose? So you've given me all these things. What do you want me to do with it? It's a big question, something that might not be able to be answered in 5 minutes. Because, you know, I believe that God has a purpose for everyone, no matter what age. If you're alive and here and breathing, then there is a specific purpose for your life. And your purpose will always be to serve others, to love others, to build the church and build the kingdom of God. So we're going to end with, can we have a song? Can we have a worship song? And if you would like an opportunity to respond and come up to the front and have some prayer, we'll have the prayer team to pray for you. If you would like to just recommit, or if you would like to just say, Lord, you know, I am doing this, but, you know, what else do you want me to do? You know, please take this opportunity to come and receive prayer. And we'll just try and meet over there, just to the left, so that we're not in the way when we end the service, if it continues. And thank you very much for receiving me and for listening to me, because it is an honour and a responsibility. And my prayer for you is that you, on that day, will receive the "well done, my good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. Come in, come and join in the joy. And that is my prayer for every single one of you. So, Lord, as everyone here goes throughout their week this week, I ask that you would help them live intentionally and deliberately. Using the talents that you have given them with purpose and for the purpose of building each other up in love and building your kingdom and the church. And I just ask that you would be with them, and I thank you for that, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.